Okay, then I'm going to start calling the list, but again, today, my fault that I was late, so we'll skip that for today. But we'll try to move as quickly as we can through it. I'm going to give the bigger issue. Is there a lot of people away today? Or because of the time?
They left early, even.
What?
They left early.
Once we know the basic issues in AISH, which we do, so the ability to apply like the basic question, the scope of Bishum Chitza, the scope of Bishum Mamono, how formal or pragmatic some of these dinim are, the question of Koach Achamurubo. So a lot of the things will just fall into place, so we should be able to move more quickly. But it's worthwhile, trying to at least, go through the main sugya. So we're in the middle of doing the sugya on Samech Aleph Amud Beis, right? The reason we're doing this one first, obviously, is because it's so nogeya to the problem of Mishum Chitza, Mishum Mamono, and their scope. So who was reading it last time? Zachariah, right? So we basically read the Mishnah. We already noted the Machlokas. I think did we read through the Machlokas of Khan and Rava? We did, right? Yeah? Or we were in the middle of that. Okay, we'll just go through of Khan and Rava, just whatever, and then we'll, okay. But let's just get through the Shaka Vatari first, and then we'll, try to see how, again, this is a very, very challenging, as we've already noted, sugya. Depending on what you hold about Eishem, Shem Chitza, Shem Mamono, whether it means one thing or there's a range of things, and what the connection of Tumun is in general to it. Agab, before we continue, just Josh brought to my attention, that I have to look it over Shabbos, we had some controversy about the Rambam's psak in Eved Kofus and Gedi Samuch. I still think, as Reb Chaim did, and I think in Pashtus of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that is midin some sort of kam le'bidrav mineh. You don't have to call it kam le'bidrav mineh. But the question was, or the suggestion was made, that maybe the Rambam turns his back completely on all that, and that he holds that Eishem Shem Chitza, not only is not chayiv mishum rotzeach, but it doesn't even trigger a kind of Tana de Bechizkia type of kam le'bidrav mineh, and that on the contrary, building on something that we did discuss, which is that the first half of the Rambam seems to expand a tumun, but again, in a way we still have to get back to, meaning the Rambam seems to say that the din of, Gedi Kafus, that might have been a din of tumun. The Rambam says that is a case only in a Madlik B'Tov Shel Chavero, as opposed to Madlik B'Tov Shel Atzmo, right, and it spreads to Shel Chavero. The Ravid, again, calls him on that. The Ravid says that, what are you talking about? This is not Tumun. So, why does it have to be limited to this particular case? Ram seems to say that it's, Tumun, but, right, it's Tumun. Therefore, it has to be, there's a difference between whether or not it's B'Tov Shelo or B'Tov Shel Chavero. But in the end of the day, it's not tamun enough. It's not, really tamun, and therefore we don't make the distinction, between tafui and neinu tafui. So what Josh was suggesting, and maybe Natan as well, is that maybe the seif of the Rambam is is kind of an expansion of that idea. That's a Rashi saying that there's some element of tamun in the case of gedi kafus. Right? Am I saying it right? And that, the Seifa of the Rambam, which is Seifa, the case of the Mishnah, basically, is saying that, and when it comes to Eved, Kafus, that really is Tumun. And that's the reason why, in that case, you're going to be Potter on the Gedi part. So I don't think that is correct, even, with the Reb Chaim and even with the Reisha. I still don't think that's Pashas of the Rambam, but he told me that in the Ravs, in the Shiurim that they printed of the Ravs in Bava Kama, that he does say that. Yeah? Okay. So, and again, I still have to check the exact language in the, I just didn't get a chance, Chidusha Rajbavar Rush, which Arya was saying?
Yeah, it might only be Mechavamina the Eved.
Like,
oh, he says it in the Habba,
mean. In the Risha. Okay. Like, he might reject it, but like, it's hard to know exactly what he means.
The Maskana. Yeah, because I've seen that piece, and I don't remember him saying that. But I will look at it again just to see. But just for the record, since I was very... I wouldn't say dismissive, but that's too strong. We're always, interested in hearing opinions. But I don't feel that that's a compelling interpretation in the Rambam. So I stick by that, but definitely... you told me also that the Divrei Yecheskel says that? Did you tell me that?
No.
Or am I making that up?
He also is just very convinced that the Rambam...
Or that the Rambam doesn't have any Kamle Bidraba Mine in Gedi Kafos, in Eved Kafos.
Yeah.
So what does he think it's based on?
I mean, I think he thinks it's also like a type of like Rode Shishiris and Kelim Halacha.
Oh, like a Minchas Chinuch kind of.
Yeah,
like okay, we'll talk about the Minchas Chinuch.
He just also just thinks it's like very Mammon oriented in the Rambam.
Uh-huh. But it's not nothing to do with. Again, to me, it doesn't have to be called Kamle Bidraba Mine.
Yeah.
Just like for Reb Chaim's argument is. That there's a ton of the Bechizkiya-esque kind of thing, but we shouldn't even call it Kamle Drava Mine because there's no Chivotzeach. Again, the lack of Chivotzeach part, that also is, of course, connected to the Rav Chaim and Ilchos Shechem. So, again, apparently the Acharonim who understand it this way.
I think the Mari on Yerushalmi, the sixth paragraph.
And the Mari Panim also holds that way?
Yeah, I think so.
In the Rambam?
I believe so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's interesting to know, and it's an interesting phenomenon. Again, I don't think you have to go that far. The Rishonim, even within the Rambam, certainly don't go that far. But I do think that the first half of the Rambam being kind of a would-be Tamun or a half-Tamun is something that we need to get back to. And again, I was contrasting it with Tosas on Chapes and Medbeis, who, considers that possibility, which already puts it on the agenda, the Resha part, and then dismisses it more for principled reason. It sounds like the Rambam dismisses it, for practical reasons, but he hasn't completely dismissed it, because it sounds like there's still, an element which is, what limits it to. So that just to get that on the agenda before we go forward. But yeah,
Rambam says that you're pater. He doesn't qualify what is pater. It sounds like you're pater the gamrei, even on the gadish. Meaning, in terms of what the achronim were arguing, that it might just be your tamen. You're not going to be pater on the gadish.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
That's what he's saying, that it doesn't.
Right. That's why I don't. Correct. That's basically.
No, but the blanket statement doesn't seem to be making any distinctions between. Different things that he's discussing.
Right.
Gaddish, the
why should the Gaddish, which is definitely Galui and Tzafui, or if you want to call it Ra'ui, why should that be part of it? So that's why I don't see it. But I'll look at it again, since if the Rav came to that conclusion in the Divrei Yecheskel and the others, so it's definitely worth another look. But that's exactly also I don't see no matter what you hold about Ish and Shemchitzav, I don't see, why it wouldn't be sufficient at least to have kind of an eclipsing, idea in terms of that part of Reb Chaim, I think, is compelling. That, in other words, distinction. But I'll look at it again. Yeah?
I just want to do one more thing. I don't know if you said this, but, left it very...
Just before you go, just remember, I'm like in a...
I know.
Like, and I'm giving you, a very open-minded whatever. You don't want to necessarily... tafasta merubala tafasta. Go ahead.
Left one of the stronger impressions on me was that the Rambam decided to preserve the order of the Mishnah despite its apparent misplacement in the middle of
No.
You can still say that's for the Resha.
Yeah.
And once
I think we said that. How do we get to this? Why did I bring in this question? The answer is because we were reading the Mishnah.
Yeah.
We noted that right and smack in the middle of the Talmud Mishnah is this din. I think I then noted that that's a ha'ara that Tosus makes,
right?
Again, they end up dismissing it, but they kind of make the ha'ara, and that this ha'ara is, I think, also, suggested by Mefarshei Rambam as well. So that I agree. I just don't think it says anything about the Sefer.
I know. He could have put it at the end of his discussions with Kaman and still been fine. The fact that he decides to preserve it just sounds like the whole thing is being integrated.
Well, again, if as that the Resha is, let me say it this way, methodologically, that the Resha is a din of Tamun is Mechudash.
Right.
Let's forget about the Sefer for a moment. So, and that Chiddush, explains the placement very, very sufficiently, right? So I don't think that, extending the Chiddush is supported by that Ha'ara, meaning if you knew that that the Kiddush was being extended, so then great. That, you know, then it's even more. But I'm saying I don't think that methodologically, once you accept that the Reisha, which is a Kiddush, is expanding Tamun to cases that are not Tamun, but that are Legamre Eino Tzafuy or Eino Ragil, right? So I don't think that that's, you know, adds any, that reinforces that Huah Din B'Seifa. That's all. Just the methodology.
You have like a lot of Kimlay in them. Again, I don't think any.
Well, I mean, it's clear in the Gemara that.
In the Havamina Gemara. Before the Gemara. Like,
right, but there's no evidence that necessarily. Again, so you have to believe that because of the Rambam, so, you know, very special reading of the Gemara on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, you know, that's compelling enough for him to, you know, to be Chozer on that particular point as well, even though. You know, Chitzav remains a very critical aspect. If you believe that logically, you know, and then you say, but even though it's not in the Gemara, and, you know, then they're great. I still think that the Rambam's Chitzav is the predominant element within the framework of Mamono, and therefore I'm not really so troubled. I'm not even so troubled by, you know, again, Reb Chaim has his own reasons for thinking that you're not Chayv Rotzeach. That I'm totally okay with. I don't think that means that this isn't Kamle Midrabamine. I think it's a good diuk to say that the phrase Kamle Midrabamine is only used, you know, by Rish Lakish, you know, in you know, Mokom Agacheles or Hitzitz Saeved. I think that is a good diuk. But in the end of the day, I still think the pashtus of the Gemara is that the Gemara never changes mind on that, and that the Rambam would have to say more to tell us that he did. What he does say more, seemingly, is on the Reisha part. The Seifa part sounds like, you know, well, if you know the Gemara, then this is it. So, not impossible, and you have good people who are supporting what you're saying, and, you know, including, you know, yourself, you know, to begin with. But but I just, if you ask, what's that?
And I have Natan.
And you have Natan, and he has you. And, you know, and you both have, I guess, the Rav and the Divrei Yecheskel, maybe some other Achronim. And we have to look still at the Talmud of Rashi Rajba. I still think that it doesn't sound that way in Rambam, and that methodologically there's enough to not enough. But I do like the Reisha point, which explains the added point, you know, etc. So we'll look at it again. We'll keep an open mind. But if you want to know where I am in this, you know, thank you. Yes, I'm still a skeptic on that point, or I'm still more convinced of the other. Whatever, but I hear what you're coming, where you're coming from, and I appreciate you, you know, getting the Rav on the record, etc. Okay, so having said that, yeah, we're okay now. Question wise, good. So somebody else had a question? No. Okay, good. So let's get back to okay. So this is an amazing Mishnah. The middle part of the Mishnah, the Gedib Kafus, we'll get back to because we still have to talk about a little bit about the Samuch, you know, problem as well. The Tosis. Rashi, Rashbam, Tosis, you know, other you know, permutations of that we still have to talk about. And we still have to talk about Momen Lechad and Nefashos Lechad. So we are going to get back to that point. And we still have to talk more about, you know, Eshem Shem Chitzav in Rotzeach, you know, as we do still in Shchita and other things. So we'll get back to all these points. But meanwhile, I started late and we need to make some headway. So let's go through this sugya and talk about, identify the problems, and then see how the specific Rishonim read this very difficult sugya, which, as we say, is challenging, especially, you know, what, kolo chitzav or lo kololo chitzav? Is there more than one perspective, you know, within chitzav? Or are there those gradations within chitzav, which we've seen already in one of the major makoros for that? Is this sugya according to some Rishonim? Let's see if our Rishonim will try to deny it. Okay. What about Mishum Mamono? Right? Are there gradations within Eisha Mishum Mamono? So you know, as we said before, there are really like two or three parts of the sugya. The first part of the sugya is the difference, the Machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, that we've talked about a little bit already. The debate, you know, with the Rajba, against most Rishonim, about, you know, Rabbi Yehuda's chiyuv of Tamun. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in Tamun at all. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe, you know, in Tamun, you know, in cases where it is you know, anticipatable, where it's roi. But when it's not roi, you know, in the lo havale asuke adaite cases, we'd call it, you know, does even Rabbi Yehuda agree, you know, that that would be potter? Okay, that's one debate. That's a very important debate. The whole midde Rabbana Nishma, you know, the Rabbi Yehuda question, which we've talked about and discussed. And again, it leaves us wondering, and we're going to get back to this because that's important for the Takanas Nigzal question too. You know, is Rabbi Yehuda's view reflection of Eish at all in the sense of Eish and Mishubchitza being more mazik biadayim, which is more of a reason to him to turn his back on any kind of tamun, because clearly, you know, a classical mazik biadayim shouldn't. One would default, one would think it's not subject to a Talmud. Or no, that has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda, you know, is equally amenable to anything you want to say about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The real point of Rabbi Yehuda simply is that he doesn't have this limud. He doesn't think that there's an implicit in the Torah, you know, a p'tur of Talmud based on Kama, Galui, etc. So there's just no din of Talmud. I mean, everybody will agree in the end of the day, whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or hold like Reish Lakish, you know, you can hold like Reish Lakish all day long, and still agree that Talmud is mechudash, right? Again, the way Rashi puts it, you know, it's how does Rashi put it? Rashi calls it he calls it Xeris HaKosev or not? Tosa certainly thinks it's Xeris HaKosev.
Rashi also does.
What?
You're
talking
about
Tarte Pligi. Yeah, go ahead. Exactly. So Rashi calls it Xeris HaKosev. Bali Tosas clearly say that it's Xeris HaKosev and therefore in the Chabala Chidusha that it's limited, you know, to Madlik Batom Shalom. We'll see soon that the Rima Loniel, you know, Asher likes to call it what? Before the other point of the Rima Loniel, but he's very like insistent, whenever he talks about Tamun, he calls it a. Also, there's a chasa, but he adds chasa something.
Mana.
Yeah, he always adds, which is very fascinating, a chasa rachmana. I'm not sure whether there's significance to that so much. I think it kind of fits into the mentality of the picture that he's presenting generally. But he repeats it again. I brought in the Rima Loniel, you know, the real one, not just the Shinul Gavatzes, to just show you how many times he says it. Right, both in is Perush on the second parak, and in the sixth parak. Chaser Rachmana, so Chaser Rachmana. Talmud is a Chaser Rachmana. Yeah. Something you want to say something about?
By the same
token,
he also calls it Knas from Machaye.
He calls it a what?
Knas from
Machaye. A? Knas? Okay. So, right. But he, well, we'll get to that. But, right. But the predominant reference, again, we'll read inside in just a minute, is Chas Rachma. But the point is that for Rabbi Yehuda, right, to say that there's no Chas Rachmana, or to say that there's no Gzeres HaKasuv, even if you hold that there's no factor of Adam Hamazik, again, there's no Ptur, you know, Tamun in Shor, and there's no Ptur Tamun in Bor. So it's not necessarily true. This is a question to ask, and this is again something we have to get back to when it comes to Takanas Nigzal. Like, what is implied, you know, for a Yehuda versus Rabbanan regarding the status of Eish. So the question whether or not you're going to be mechalek between, you know, what's tzafui and what's not tzafui, also is this question of Rabbi Yehuda, you know, itself. Again, the more you think that, you know, ra'ui or tzafui is separate from Talmud, which is the mainstream view of the Rishonim, meaning the view of Rashi, the view of Tosas, and many of the those who follow them, namely that Talmud, in a case of a Tok Shalo, for example, is Xeris HaKasuv, or a Chasa Rachmana, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, the idea of, you know, B'Tok Shel Chavero, you know, still saying that Davar She'eino Roi is still Patur, that's based on Lo Havale La Suke Adaite, or we'll call it for the moment the need for Pshia or the Ptur, a kind of a Ptur Onus, we'll see what we mean by that. The more you think of that as possible, the more, you know, there are two totally different dinim, right? One is the Xeris HaKasuv, And the other is, you know, the question of this svara. Right? That's why Tosas presents it. It's implicit already in Rashi and others. You know, if Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with one, is that a good reason for him to disagree, you know, with the other? Right. So if the, you know, is the point that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there's only one din of Talmud? Right? For some Rishonim, I think that you might think there's only one din of Talmud too. I'll explain. The more you think that Rabbi Yehuda's position is based on a perspective on Eish, right, the easier it is to say that Rabbi Yehuda, for the same reason that Rabbi Yehuda, you know, cannot accept Xeris HaKasuv or HaKasa Rachmana, you know, when it comes to the formal din of Talmud, so he is also maybe inclined, you know, to reject, you know, the factor of Habalei Lasuke Adaita or Onus or Pshia. Meaning, if he thinks that Esho is really Mishum Chitzav, you know, where it applies, or that that's what Mishum Mamono means, meaning that we really look at it like Adam Amazik, right? Then, you know, even if these are two different dinim, he's likely to reject both. On the other hand, if all Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, I don't think that there's such a Gzeres HaKasuv, right? A Patur Talmud, you know, and we don't have it in Kalim, and we don't have it in Bor, and we don't have it in Shor, and so on, so we don't have it in Eish either. That if you were to acknowledge, right, that the din of Eino Roy or Havilei Lasuke is a separate din, then just because Rabbi Yehuda rejects one doesn't necessarily mean, why would he necessarily reject the other? That would be more of a support for the position of the Rajba. Right? But and that's kind of what, you know, the Midah means. Like, you know, yeah. So, right. So there are two ways, I guess, to explain the more mainstream view that Rabbi Yehuda rejects both of these dinim and is mechayev under all conditions. Right? One is that he just thinks that both of these things are Talmud. He doesn't think that there's a separate din. Or that his view of Eish, you know, is such that it excludes both of this kind of Xeris HaKasuv as well as, you know, the factor of Onus or Pshia, with the added assumption that, in other words, that a certain view, not a mamazik, makes that more untenable or less tenable. Okay. Yeah? Good. Now, we don't pass, do we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda or not? Alex shook his head emphatically. No. Anybody disagree with Alex? Not done? Yeah, the rib. I mean, mostly Alex is 100% right. You know, that's probably actually bad if I didn't even need to say that. if Alex shakes his head emphatically, you know, there's a strong basis for that. 99%, let's say 95% of the Rishonim, right, think that we pass them like the Chacham. Right, we all know about the Mutur Talmud, the H, right? The Rif quotes, we'll discuss this very soon, the Rif quotes Yesh Cholkim, based on the end of the Sugya, based on the Takana of Nigza. We'll get to the language in a second. There's one Rishon, at least, actually holds that way. I didn't tell you to look it up, but anybody aware? The Ravon. Okay? Moshe, you were about to say the Ravon? You were about to say the Ravon.
I saw this morning.
What?
I saw this morning.
Yeah. So the Ravon in Al-Atar on Samech Aleph Amid Beis quotes Rabbi Yehuda, right, and says, you know, and of course we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And why do we paskin again? For the same reason that the Rif pointed out, namely that the Gemara later on, you know, when it says the Takan of Nigzal, which it seems like we do accept, it says it Aliba de Rav Yehuda. So one of the things we have to figure out is, like, you know, what do you say about that Raya? What does the Rif say about that Raya? What does the Ramban say about that Raya? What does the Raibin say about that Raya? That's something we have to get back to. But you should be aware that the Ravon, the Yesh Mefarshim and the Rif, and the Ravon actually do Patska like Rav Yehuda. But mostly we don't paskin that way. Again, within Rabbi Yehuda you have this interesting argument, and that, just to make that clear, the debate between the Rajba And other Rishonim, we'll call it that, because he's the one who's all in, and everybody else kind of just mentions it and drops it, is within Rav Kahana. Right? Within Rava, it seems like everybody agrees that Rav Yehuda is absolutely mechayiv in all circumstances. Okay? That's important, too. Okay, let's continue for a moment. Let's just go through the Gemara, and then we'll go back to the specific Rishonim. Go ahead.
Gemara. Amar Rav Kahana, Mahos Malik Tosh Shalom, Avachlava Achla Tosh Shachaber. Yehuda Mechayev Aniski Tumim Be'ej. For one on Pasuk. Aval Malik Tosh Shachaber, Devere Kol Mashan Kol Mash Betofa.
Okay. And here again, you have this Machlokas. Right? What do we mean? Mechayev on everything? Right? Or are we going to distinguish? Correct? Now again, this distinction between Madlik Betosh Shalom, Madlik Betosh Shachaber, maybe this is Gufa, depends on Rav Kahana and Rava, but again, it you know leads us to question, right, whether or not, you know, what is the significance of that distinction, right? So one possibility, which we're going to see is certainly embraced by some of the Chachmei Provence, meaning we saw already the Hashlama, we'll see in a minute the Midloniel, you know, the Meiri partly. And that is that the distinction between Mitoch Shalom and Shal Chavero is just a hint at another much more well known and basic distinction, namely Kol Lochitza v'lo Kol Lochitza. So that was obviously a view in Chachmei Provence, even though it doesn't sound that way in the Gemara, but it is also reasonable. I mean, typically, if something is more distant, you know, then it's more likely that it's called lochitza. Okay, and if something is more, but we'll see, you know, what does that end up telling you then about any issue, you know, where we're then assuming that every toshel chavero is a situation of lo kalulchitzav, of, you know, eshem shemchitzav. So if that's true, then any tamun which is chayiv becomes under more pressure. Right. On the other hand, you know the idea, you know that there will be a p'tur tamun, you know b'teuch shelo, right? Gets, you know, and how does that fit into eishem shemchitza? That gets neutralized if you take this view. We'll see in a minute. We have seen already that the Hashlama kind of says that, and that the I'll show you in a minute that the Rimel O'Neil. In both places, especially in six parak, and the Miri also, you know, considers that possibility. If we don't say that, right, or even if we do, you know, maybe within the Manda Amar of Eishem Shemchitza, I'm sorry, within the Manda Amar of Mishimamono, it sounds like there might be another distinction playing out, namely. That's what Rashi points out. And that is that whether or not you are madlik b'toch shalcha or b'toch shalchavero, right, separate from kol lochitzav lo kol lochitzav, right, that is a factor in the quality or in the, you know, the legal status of Eish. Okay. And for that, as we noted the other day, Tuesday, right, there could be two, broadly speaking, two explanations. One is the question of Rishus. I mean, do you have the right to, you know, to light this fire, right? That's one question. And the other possibility is the, you know, the phases or the stages, whatever you want to call them, the process aspect of Eish. And again, both of these questions are open to question, objectively. In other words, do you have a right to light a match in your own property when it's lo kalu, lo chitzav, and it threatens something in somebody else's property? That is an interesting question. And there could be gradations of the answer. It could be that you're not allowed to do it, but it's still not considered an act of hezek right away, because it's still the tov shelcha, or maybe you're allowed to do it. Or maybe the threat that it imposes on somebody else's property makes it an illegal action, you know, right away. Right? Again, the Rishonim who think that Madle Petosh Shalo is an example of Kalalochitzav obviously think that if it was low Kalalochitzav, that we would treat B'toch Shalom seemingly equally, right? So obvious. So that's an interesting Rashi's formulation. That how's it go? Yeah, v'habit k'ma'ab b'yadayim, which is a great line, you know, is obviously disputed by anybody who thinks that the distinction between b'toch Shalom and b'toch Shel Chaveiro, you know, is about something else, right? Yeah.
Even that, can you mitigate Rashi that he's only within Ruf Tahana, where you have to be more Mahabit to be a dime because you're a bar and
maybe
everything?
Could be. And that maybe will explain why later on Rashi seems to take the Pshiyo, you know, perspective. Could be. Could be. Again, he doesn't say that. He doesn't limit it to Rav Kahana. He just says it in the distinction of Tov Shelo and Shel Chaveiro.
He says it in the Gemara within Rav Kahana before.
No, it's within the Gemara, 100%. But the Divar Matzah is B'Tov Shel Chaveiro. I mean, Rava also agrees that there's a difference between... But it, logically, what you're saying makes sense. I'm just saying, textually, he says it on B'toch Shel Chaveiro, the distinction between B'toch Shel Chaveiro and B'toch Shel Atzmo. It could apply in theory, Bein the Rava, Bein the Rav Kahana. If you also want to navigate the evidence later on, you know, when Rashi talks about, my habale gabe, you know, Da'az Kase, where he's Mechalek, then I think that, because there clearly he's operating with Rava, because he, a couple of Rashi's earlier, he kind of goes out of his way to Rava-ize, you know, what he's talking about. I think that would make sense. But then it's a little bit of a chiddush to say that that Kufa is part of the argument between Rava and Rav Kahana. I like it, is what I'm saying. But, you know, it's not obvious. And it's not, you know, mukrak. It's a good explanation, which becomes even better to be miyashe with these two Rashi's. Okay, unless there's another way to do it, which we'll get to. Okay. So that is, that's a very important idea. And again, it's consistent with the, you know, what we've seen so far, which is that in addition to Eshom Mishum Chitzva, Eshom Mishum Mamono, you know, Eshom Mishum, some combination, you know, and there being a discussion about what that combination really means, half and half, you know, 80-20-20-80, and just using, you know, numbers, you know, casually, you understand what I'm saying. In addition to all of that, right, there are, as we've said, there are also different levels of Esh, right? Maybe within Mamono, maybe within Esh Chitza, right? What about also Agadish, with the, you know, the Hashlama, we've talked about already, right? What about also Agadish in terms of Mamono, you know, again, in terms of the Meiri, I think it's not a coincidence that the Chachmei Provence are kind of all, mostly on the same page in these things. What about the difference between Mabir and fire management? You know, where you know you're Madlik for some other reason, or you inherit it. Again, the Talmidei Ari. We'll see in a minute the Rima Lonil, which we'll get to in a second. Hevir Bishvil Tavshilo, right? The Shach, you know, and the Am Shel Shlomo and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Make that distinction. So just this question of there being, you know, multiple levels of Eish, again, if you hold Kol Achitza Lo Chatzva, that's all this is, and you could bypass that completely. But if not, then it sounds like very important ideas. And one way to focus on it is the way Rashi did, which is that initial Rishus question. I'm just pointing out that, you know, there could be three views here. It's your property, and therefore you're madlik, you know, beheter, you know, end of story. It's, you know, going to damage somebody's property right away. It's omed lekach, if lo kal lo chitzav, and therefore it's also legamri, you know, in every sense, or something in between, meaning, you know, the striking of the match isn't the problem, but already miyad, you know, this is not heter gomor, right, either. The other perspective, I'd say, is to see it not in terms of... again, I should add, by the way, that the Rima Lonil, which we'll see in a moment, is seemingly very influenced by this Rashi, you know, and tries to, you know, emphasize this question of Rishus or not. Implying, this is the question that I raised on Tuesday with that in mind, you know, what would happen if you... I mean, now I'm raising the question, do you really have Rishus to light a match in your property that, you know, threatens already somebody else's, right? But it goes the opposite way, too. Let's say you do have rishus, you know, to light a match at somebody else's property, right? He gave you that rishus, or for, you know, whatever it is that you're doing there, you know, justifies that rishus. So again, if it isn't about the distance or the chalos of going, you know, from one stage to another stage, etc., it's about rishus, so that becomes an important... It's not really b'tol shalo, b'tol shal chaveiro. It's, you know, the real issue is the rishus. Right. So I think that is something to think about. The other possibility, I say, is the distance itself. I mean, there's ein adoma, madlik b'tol shalo, and mad b'tol shal chaveiro, because you have to traverse, you know, some other... boundary. So even if it's, you know, whether it's kol lo chitzav, lo kol lo chitzav, I mean, it's whether it's mandomar chitzav, mandomar mamono, you could certainly be mechalek, right? The question whether or not you see this, you know, as, you know, chitzav mamish, ma'abed biyadayim, you know, considering, you know, it has to go, it isn't, again, probably isn't the objective distance. It's the fact that as a chalos, and this is the question behind it, right? It's you know, moving from stage to stage. It's diffused. It's broken up, you know, and made into a process. As I am madlik b'tol shel chaveiro, so you know, there's a direct, you know, correlation between what I'm doing and where the chetah shel nezek is in this rishus, you know, and therefore it's more threat. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm mokom agachelas. I'm not talking of sachsechas. I'm talking about, you know, oso harishus.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if it's, you know, rishus ruvein, you know, the damage takes place in rishus shimon, so that by definition is more of a delayed, you know, of a process oriented thing. That might have nothing to do. That probably has nothing to do with rishus. Right. It has everything to do, but only the vulnerability there. The vulnerability in the rishus is you could have rishus shel chaveiro. Maybe that's true, and you can, you know, wonder whether or not you have rishus on a certain level. But toshel cha would have threatened somebody else's property in his own rishus. The vulnerability in this other perspective is it such a thing as, you know, if my property is 100, I own one of these, you know, Texas, you know, sprawling, you know, ranches. So I've got, you know, 1,000,000 acres, you know, so, and a madlik b'tol shel, you know, shali, you know, is that really different than, you know, I have 10 acres and, or 2 acres, make it even, you know, and then my neighbor has 2 acres, you know, and then his neighbor has 2 acres, you know, is there really such a thing as a chalos, you know, rishus, al pidin in the eish, or not? Yeah, maybe this for some halachos and not, you know, not for other halachos. So do we really say, oh, you know, it went from here to here to here? No. You know, the 1,000,000 acres, we don't look at it that way, even though it's going to take much longer, right, and a much bigger conflagration, right? So why should we say that in... But the important thing is, it's threatening his property, you know, in a much faster and more immediate way. Right. So I think that is the question. Okay. Either way, these are the things to think about. If everything could be kol lo chitzav, lo kol lo chitzav, right, then we need to say neither of these points, and we need to reject both of these points. If we think that this has nothing to do with kol lo chitzav, lo kol lo chitzav, then these are really critical. So part of the story is... Madlik b'tok sheli l'shel chaveri. Madlik b'tok shel chaveri, b'rishus or shelo b'rishus. And then within madlik b'tok shel chaveiro, getting back to the hashlama, what about, you know, when there's like a little bit of a process there? Not kol lochitzav necessarily. Like, you know, madlik oso agadish, b'lim masaksechas, not masaksechas. Right? It needs to spread from, you know, it's a big gadish. It needs to spread from this point to that point. Okay, but is that any different b'toch shodesh shel chaveiro than being madlik b'toch shel chaveiro, than being madlik b'toch sheli l'shel chaveiro, or what I mentioned again on the other day, which is, does it matter, you know, whether or not, you know, there could be all sorts of interesting scenarios according to the second perspective, like what about being madlik b'rishus Reuven, being madlik b'rishus Shimon, you know, to burn down, that burned down something in Brishus Levi, something important in Brishus Levi. Or let's say, you know, you have Reuven, you know, being Madlik B'toch Shiloh, and then, you know, it burns down Shimon's next door, and then Reuven has another Sada adjacent to that, and then Levi has adjacent to the second Reuven. I'm not trying to make trouble. I'm really not. But you understand what I mean. So, okay. But B'toch, you know, Gedishim Shonim B'toch Shel Chavero, that should matter, right? Without Kol Lochitzav or Lo Kol Lochitzav, and without the question of, you know, Mokom Agacheles Mesachseches, right? That also becomes a gradation in Eish. And this is kind of what we see. Okay, these are things to look for. Continue.
Amalei Rava, Yihachi, Adetani Seifa, Bon Tomer of Yehuda, Vamalekas Abira, Shemeshan Komash of Asofa, Shemidakhne Adam, La Nef of Batim, Lithel Glisting Didah, the man Varmurim, Vamalek Tol Shalom, Vahalcha Vahalcha Tol Shal Chavero, Vamal Tol Shal Chavero, Giver Kol Meshan Komash of Chavetoko.
Yeah. Elam Rava.
Elam Rava, Tarki Pligi, Vamalek Batov Shalom, Vahalcha Vahalcha Tol Shal Chavero, Dribhud Machayev Aton Beish, Vavanasavi Lo Machayev,
okay, so this is the Machok Sorkan Revov Rava that we've spoken about. Most Rishonim Paskin like, by the way, Alex. Here, Alex, you notice a lot less emphatic, as he should be. How do we paskin? Most paskin like Rava. Almost everyone paskins like Rava. But there are a couple of Rishonim, right, who think that we paskin like Rav Kahan. Okay? The Shulta Giborim, I think the Riyaz in the Shulta Giborim, and a couple of others, right? Not 100% clear within the Rabbanan whether we paskin like Rav Kahan or Rava. Mostly we paskin like Rava. We've already discussed a little bit what the scope of that argument is. The question is, within the worldview of Rabbah, this is where Tosas pronounced their very dominant perspective, but I'm just here to say not necessarily uniform perspective, and that is that really there are two dinim of, we'll call it two dinim of Tamar. It's a little misleading, but we'll just, for the sake of being clear, two dinim of Tamar, right? There is a Tamun, Alex? That's Exeris HaKosov, and that's the Din of B'Tosh Shalom, and that's because that's what the Pasuk is talking about, and therefore Ein Lechabal Lechidusho. That's the view of Tosas, right? And then the other Tamun is Lo Hava Le'asukei Adaite. Question, is there any relation? There are two questions to ask. Is there any relationship between the two? That's what I was, again, if Rabbi Yehuda's arguing with both, then that's interesting. Right. Is there a relationship between the two? Is it mukhrak to say this? It's mostly to explain, how the Rabbanan, would not apply the Ptur of Tamun. Why the Rabbanan applying the Ptur of Tamun selectively, let's say, B'toch Shaloh, I'm sorry, B'toch Shel Chavero, and uniformly B'toch, Shel Atzma. Okay? So the answer the Bali Tosis recommend, kind of Rashi implicit, to that question is because these are two totally different dinim. Right? One is a din of Talmud, therefore it's uniform, but it's limited. The other is a din of Lahav Lasukai Daite, and that's a Svar B'Yalma. Basically, it's not even Talmud. We're calling it Talmud, but it's not really Talmud at all. Correct? That is, but one could have said that, whatever it is that makes Tamun, Pator, right, there's some sort of a, combination, let's say, there's a more intense Tamun, we'll call it, and there's a more intense Eish, right? We all understand that the more Eish is Chitzav oriented, the more problematic Tabun in any form is going to be as a Ptur, correct? We also understand that the more Safui or Ra'ui, the more anticipatable you know, Talmud is, the more you might say something like the Tosfos Rid, that is, that it isn't Talmud at all, it's Galui, or that it's a kind of a technical Talmud. I mean, there could be levels of Talmud. Right? I'm kind of suggesting that in the end of the day still for the Rambam. Right? In the Reisha part, you know, of Gedi Kofos. Right? Because Rambam says it's not Talmud, but he still seems to be Mechalek between Madlik B'Tok Shalom and Madlik B'Tok Shal Chaveiro. That's what the Achronim have trouble with the Rambam. So it sounds like, you know, it's not one kind of Talmud, but it still is a little bit the other kind of Talmud. Right? So what I'm suggesting with this is that instead of saying that there are two dinim, what we might say is that the patur of Talmud, right, applies to, you know, applies more, or applies to, you know, to the, to an Aish, right, which is more mamon rather than chitzav oriented. And, you know, once you're, you know, madlik betoch shalo, right, instead of saying, oh, there's a p'tur of, you know, asuke, I'm sorry, there's a special p'tur of asuke adaita, which has nothing to do with Talmud, I would say that the asuke adaita is a shear in Talmud, and that Talmud applies, you know, to anything that is Aish. Right? And the more that Aish is mamono, the more Aish is Aish and not Adam, right, then even a lesser Talmud is Bechad. That's like a sliding scale somewhere between, you know, the intensity of the Aish, if you will, or the nature of the Aish, assuming that all Aish is still connected, right, which I think for the Rambam it certainly is, and the kind of Talmud that we're talking about. I think that is true in the Rambam, in the Reisha, right? And I in that halacha, what is that halacha yud? Tama, the one we are always fighting about, yud dalad and yud, yud dalad yud, right? Yud dalad yud. Yud dalad yud. Yeah, I think that's true in the Rambam yud dalad yud, and I think that that is an alternative, implicit maybe in some Rishonim, to the more dominant accepted view of Tosas, right? Which is that there are two completely different deep. Having said that, one other ha'ara, and that is even if you take the view that the din of Tok Shalo is like Xeris HaKasu of Talmud, and the din of Shal Chaveiro, you know, is Asuke Adaite, even if there are two different dinim, you know, again, the Chitz of Mamon relationship, you know, probably is still relevant. I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. Meaning the more Chitz of you are, the more you're going to have, the more defensive you're going to be about applying this Asuke Adaite. Okay. But more than that, the distinction that Rashi makes, or the alternative distinction between Tok Shalo and Tok Shal Chaveiro, is probably still necessary, even if you say that we're dealing with Xeris HaKasuv. Even if Talmud is just Xeris HaKasuv, it has nothing to do with anticipating, right, what's there. The Xeris HaKasuv still probably reflects two levels of Aish. In other words, if we didn't think that the factor of Rishus, or the distance slash process, you know, had any relevance whatsoever, you know, to how we look at Aish, then saying Xeris HaKasuv would kind of not accomplish very much. Or the Xeris HaKasuv would be indefensible. Having said that, so going back to what I think is the Rambam model, or the other model, which is that there aren't two dinim of Talmud, there's like a sliding scale of Talmud, right? So, you know, what I mean more specifically about that is that even if you hold that Aish, or the question in Aish of making it more, well, even Mishra Mamona possibly, right, and certainly on the levels of Chitzav, you know, kind of a quasi Aramamazik, right, still requires, this goes back, we're going to need this in a minute, goes back to what we've already talked about. Like, if you hold that Eisho Mishum Chitzav means Aramamazik, so does that mean that the, you know, Adam Muad Liolam you know, of Adam HaMazik is going to be applied fully to Eshem Shemchitza? Right? That's a question which we've already touched on, and of course is at the heart and core of this whole second din of the Balei Tosis and Mos Rishonim, namely, do we care about what Asuke Adaite, or do we need Pshia, or do we have a Ptur Onus if you hold Eshem Shemchitza? Right? So I'll just tell you what I think the answer is already, and then we'll just see where the Rishonim draw the line. Right, this is something that we talked about, back when we started talking about Onus, and that is, you might hold that Esho Mishum Chitzav and still think that to turn Esho into Chitzav, requires some other factors, or requires some effort. And that somewhat being pasha, or not having an onus legamri, well, we'll say it now in these terms, having some, havale lasuke adaite, let's say, is part of that process. That's eshem mishum chitzav, right? But it's only chitzav when you could be mitzarev, because in the end of the day, there still is a time gap, and there still is the factor of kolchacher Meurabo, it isn't really Chitzav Shaladam. So to turn Eshem Shem Chitzav into Chitzav Shaladam, given these realities, right, there has to be, right, certain other elements. Right, even if it's Legamri, Adab Amazin, Ma'abid Biyadai. And one of those elements may be the objective anticipation of what might happen when you do it. Right? Just like it's much more obvious that kol lo chitzav is going to be a problem in eshem shem chitzav, right? So too, you might say that there's like an intellectual kind of kol lo chitzav, and that is being aware when you strike the match, what the chetza shel nezek, not being aware, knowing all the physics and whatever, but it being something which is subject to your awareness, and therefore constitutes a pshia. Ah. So if that's the case, then it's quite possible that the combination of how much Adam HaMazik there is, effortlessly, and how much Adam HaMazik you need to create, is also a function of, how much Asuke Adaite there is. So the point may be that when the pressure of this is even greater, maybe that's the Ptur Talmud. That doesn't mean it isn't Gzeres HaKasuv, but maybe it's a kind of Chasa Rachmana, not just as Gzeres HaKasuv, but kind of this is Adam HaMazik, but it's Adam HaMazik, by a stretch, and therefore, Talmud, isn't part of that. On the other hand, when you're Madlik B'toch Shel Chavero, right, which is a more direct chitzav, it takes less to turn chitzav then into ma'abe biyadayim, right? So maybe that shifts not to any tamun, but to anticipatable tamun. Again, when a tamun's in front of you, so then whether you anticipate it dictates whether you're mitzuraf in your ma'isa to its destruction. And when a tamun is in some other field, or because you have rishus, or because it's more of a process, right, then it's never mitzuraf, to the hadlaka itself. That would be a way of explaining. It'll also help us with, just managing this whole asuke adaite v'holdeishim shemchitzav in general, I think. But that will be a way of avoiding, or let's say avoiding, doesn't sound right, providing an alternative to what became the very dominant view of Balei Tosis, and that is that the two Talmuds are two different deities. Whether we want to say it for Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Talmud is Chayiv, and therefore thinks it's one, at least for Rava, and for Rav Kahan, and for most Rishonim other than the Rajva, or whether we want to say even for the Chachamim, who seem to have this very interesting combination view. And I think that might be Pshat in the Rambam, in the Reisha with the Gedi Kafus, and I think it will explain for Rishonim who don't hold like Balei Tosis, some of the sliding scale that seems to evolve. Yeah.
Now, that make Aish similar to Bor? Is there some colloquial idea?
Say again?
Does that make Aish and Bor kind of similar?
Well, I think they do, right, because, but for, again, for parallel opposite reasons, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, like, aside, right? So, meaning, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, who does seem to think that they're both kind of Tchilas, Asiyaso, and Takala, but what I've been saying all along about Aish and Bor is that, in one sense, they're opposites, because Aish is the most Maisa Hezek, or Tziruv to Maisa Hezek, even if from a Mamono perspective, and Kol Shekein from a Chitzo perspective, and that couldn't be more different than Bor, which is, you know, Ein Aholech Umazek, and it's passive, and it's not just that, you know, that's considered the Hezek or it's passive Hezek. But like Bor, which is where we kind of also spoke about, we were talking about Bor, one of the things, I think this is what you're totally talking about, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is like one of the things we're trying to explain in Bor is, was, is, you know, like, you know, the animal falls into the Bor and it's nine tfachim, according to those we've shown with it, and it's clear that it died because of that. You know, so, you know, why, if you want to say the second day of Rashi, you know, that, oh, obviously, if it died, and it's Ein Bo Kedei Lahamis, so Yesh Dvarim Bago. You know, it's not just him. But according to the first day of Rashi, and all the other Rishonim would say, it's a din, it's a halacha, like, why should it be a din and a halacha? I mean, the animal died. It died because of this. Oh, most animals don't die because of this. Who cares? The answer is, because if the Mechayev isn't the Hezek, right, but the Yetziras HaTakala, so Merosh, we have to figure out, is this a Yetziras HaTakala, Legabe Misa, and if the answer typically is no, then if, you know, there's a case that's different and falls through the cracks, literally, right, then, you know, who cares? I think that's what you mean, right? So too, but for the opposite reason. Here what we're trying to do is we're trying to take a Maisa Shor, or Maisa Mamono, right? And because there's a time lag, because there's a Koach Achar Me'urav, because there's, let's say, even in Betok Shalom, there's even a Heter, you know, to do the striking of the match, you know, and we're trying to turn that into Adam Amazek, right? So maybe the ability to do that, it's not all reconstruction. This is, he lit the match, it was low kaloch. Again, if you wanted to, you know, drop, reconstruct, you could have even, that's why I say, was there ever a Hava Mina on Chav Gimel Amin Aleph? That, you know, even in a case of kololochitza, that you'd be chayav for galui and just be potter for tamun, right? Maybe no, and I like to think yes, as a havami, right? Why? Because in the end of the day, you know, your striking of the match ended up, you know, burning down his field. Okay, so there was a you know, a ruach shena mitzuya in the middle, or the equivalent of that. Okay. Maskana, we don't hold that way, that's fine. I totally understand that, because physically it didn't have the wherewithal. But something that does have a physical wherewithal, does that mean it's just, okay, end of story, Hashem Shemchito, the Arishonim will hold that way. And these Chachmei Pravan, the Miri, some of them are saying part of that. But in the end of the day, what I'm suggesting is, maybe not. Maybe it's always a din chitzav. And that din chitzav, like Bor, as an opposite manifestation, but for the same reason, it requires, you know, the ability to connect the dots, you know, Meirosh. And part of that ability is called Lachitzav, and part of that ability is a legitimate Havalei Lasukei Adai. So I, if that's what you meant, which I think it is, I think it's a great mashal, a great connection, because of, yeah.
Maybe along those lines. Then we could say the same as Shanahish Mishimimoto also, right? I mean, even if we're not considering
100%.
Same sliding scale gradient in terms of what's considered.
100%. This could all be with the Nation Mishimoto. According to the Rishonim, who think that Asha Mishimhitze has no Talmud whatsoever, and whoever, this same idea could be with the Nation Mishimimoto if you assume that Asha Mishimimoto isn't sure. That it's not Maisa Mamono, it's the Tziruf through Koser Shmira. You know, to the thing, just it isn't Mechitzav,
right.
And it's not Kovel, and it's not Rotzeach, and it's not Kamlin Drave, maybe it isn't even Mechitzav Sholcheirish, which is Poster either. Right. 100%. And we'll see in a minute, we'll see in the Ramban, right, the Ramban, you know, final view, like Ramban has three views, we're not going to finish it today, obviously we'll try to finish on Sunday, but we'll see in the language of the Ramban, that even if you hold Eishim Mishim Mamono, Ramban thinks if Eishim Mishim Mamono, there's no La Suke Adaite, in a real sense. You know, there's a Dindra Abanan of it, you know, Takanas Nigzal, you know, if you don't have evidence. But otherwise, even Eisha Mishum Amona, I think, is a great example of it, because he really holds, and the mashal that he brings implies that Eisha Mishum Amona is kind of a half Eisha Mishum Chitza. Not in the Rambam sense. I think the Rambam is all the Shasso, because for the Rambam, you know, it all got, you know, modulated and integrated. Again, even if we don't go so far as the Seifa. If you want to go as far as the Seifa, that's even a more strong expression of it. That's why we don't dismiss it completely. But, yeah, I think even within the view of Eishim Shema. Let's just get through the Shach V'Tarya. Yeah.
Doesn't the Ramban there literally compare it to a shore when you're trying to say that?
He does, but he compares it to a shore where the Pshia is where the shore is already rampaging. Kind of. So I do think he compares it to shore. But to a shore in, you know, not when at the moment we're just trying to figure out whether it's Poshe or whether it's Onis, but when it's already Bishus Chavero, almost like a Tchilas of Bipshia of itself, a Baonis shore. Okay, well, we'll talk about it. It could be that you're right, that, you know, maintaining, you know, the equation is the Ramban's way of saying, don't think Mamono's Chitzo at all, you know, but even within Mamono, this is already over the line for other reasons, which I think is what you're saying. We'll look at it, we say it. My instinct was, you know, that the reason that he looks at it that way and other people don't, you know, is maybe because he sees Mamono as kind of Tchelsa Mepshia Sofa Ba'onas already. But let's leave that till we look at the Yalasha, which we're obviously not going to get to today because we have to finish. So let's just go through the Shach V'Tarya. And I'm just trying to, in what we're doing now, point out, kind of map out what's possible. And then, I guess, Sunday we're going to just go through, you know, the Rim Lanil, the Miri quickly, especially the Rif, the Ravid. I think I said we were going to do today, but we're not finishing. The Rambana Mechabos, etc. They look a little more at the Rambam. We'll try to finish that up, the details on Sunday. Okay, let's just go through the Shach V'Tarya again, just to finish up. Okay, let's go. Okay, that's a new halacha which we haven't encountered till now, right? But one which is eminently, you know, reasonable, right? It would be surprising, you know, if the makom of the tamun wasn't treated like the galui, right? At least, you know, lechumra. You know, if you can. So that's a new halacha, just it should be noted. It's nifsak la halacha. It doesn't seem like anybody disagrees with it. If somebody would disagree with it, that would be fascinating. It would say something about the scope of the Petur Tamun and make it even more Xeris HaKasav oriented, right? But accepting this halacha, which everybody does, as far as I know, is very reasonable. It doesn't say very much. So it's just important to know it. Okay, let's continue. Amedra Mamurim. Yeah, and here's where Rashi adds. Go ahead, Dibra Maslam Mashalim Masha Batoko.
Dibriya Kol Mashalim Masha Batoko. Rabba Matars Lovatame, Bekam Shadarkal Hatman Begot.
Yeah, because it sounds like this is a Rav Kahana comment. You know, it's absolute. And it's interesting that Rashi integrates Rava into this, probably because we possibly like Rava. And I think also because it'll help us a little bit more with the next lines. Because that's the horror that I was making when, in response to Natan's suggestion, that Rashi's comment about Ma'abed Biadayim, you know, is more according to Rav Kahana than it is according to Rava. So I think, again, that may very well be true, and it'll also help explain why in the Hemshech here, Rashi seems to pull back from it. Although, well, based on what I said a second ago, we may want to consider another option. Okay, continue. Yeah, so is that a Dover Pashut? Not a Dover Pashut, but maybe, question is, to what extent is Rabbi Yehuda really Modeh? Right? Or is this another way just of saying that Mashil Makom is kind of a Shmira, right, circumstance? When you're Mashil Makom to someone and you, you know, and then you damage, you know, the makom, right? I guess in theory there are two ways to look at it. One is that it's still your property, and everything is under the rubric of the mashil makom, meaning it's all shmira. And that's the way most Rishonim certainly took this line. One could have, just in terms of resistance, one could have thought that it was a little bit different point, namely that the real idea here is that your mashil makom, You know, and therefore, even, you know, Toch Shalcha is really Toch Shalo, right? In which case, this would be a much more difficult, you know, so why should Rabbi Yehuda be Moda? Right? He's not Moda, you know, in, that there's a difference between Shalom and Shalchavero in general. Tumun is Xeris Akasu. It's our Tumun just doesn't exist. So why is Tumun work in this particular case? So Moshe Rishonim explained that what this means is that this is just a din shmira. It isn't a din mazik. It's not eshom shemchitza. Here it's, you know, eshom mishum choser shmira. Because he's madlik b'tosh shalo. Right? And it's not just madlik b'tosh shalo and then it doesn't spread to anybody else's prop. It's the opposite, in a way. Let me say it this way, because that's a good parallel. Just like some Rishonim think that no matter what you say, Being madlik the gadish where the tamun exists is practically ma'abed biyadayim, right? So too, you know, the way the, a lot of Rishonim understand it, certainly the Ramban, is that mashal mokom lechaveru lahagdish gadish vihigdish, right? Is madlik betok shelo, right? But not then hivir betok mimenu betok shel chaveru, but it's madlik betok shelo. And hidlik, and hizik betoch shalo, and therefore, you know, even though he has a right to have this thing there, that status dictates that this is just a shmira din, and therefore it depends totally on havali lasuke adaite or kabbalah level of kabbalah shmira, etc. I think that's mechudash. One didn't have to say that. You could have said vis-a-vis the mashil mokob lechavero. So maybe it was madlik betoch shalom, and it's like yatzah achshav b'shel chavero, even though it's betoch tchumo. But if you say it's, you know, still a din of toch tchumo, you know, even when it's burning up that guy's allowed mashil, right? Then what you're saying is this is a din, this is a violation, it's a shmira violation. It doesn't belong in hilchos niske mamo. This belongs in hilchos schiros. Okay. That's certainly how the Ramban read it. That's probably the way most Rishonim read it. Let's continue. We'll see if everybody later. Yeah. And of course, the chiddush of there is what? Two chiddushim, right? Lahagdish chitin vehigdish saorin is a chiddush?
No.
Yeah? I mean, he gave the guy permission to store his chitim there, but the guy, no, that's not, you're right, the other way, lahagdish chitim, how's it go? One second, lahagdish chitim higdish saorin, correct, fine, saorin the higdish chitim is a bit of a chiddush because it's visible, the chitim, correct, and yet he's allowed to burn it down, okay, or he's not chai for it, or chitim the chipan besorin is a chiddush.
Right.
I mean, he gave him permission for chitin, but it looked on the outside like it was seorin. Those are the two chidushin. Correct? Knowing that it's chitin without permission, or having given permission for chitin but thinking legitimately that it's seorin, in all cases, he's only chayiv mishum seorin. Okay. Now, again, if any of this is mazik biyadayim, that should be, one would think that should be a problem. Right? Because, right? He shouldn't knowingly be burning down, you know, something that he's not mekabel shmira on. Right? And he shouldn't, you know, be excused when it comes to mazik, you know, when he's mazik because he thought it was kesef, when it turns out to be zav, right? But if you say that this is a din only in shmira, meaning that magdish makom or mashil makom remains not just, you know, but it's really a din in shalo v'shalo, he's, you know, then, and it's only a she'ela halacha, then it's a din in kabbalah shmira. Okay, let's continue.
Amar Rava, Hanosin Dinar Zav with Isha, Amar La, His Haribo, Shakesifu. As he Kaso, Mishalemes Dinar Zav. Shum Amar La, Mayhav Alech Gabed Azikasu.
Yeah, so this, of course, is a landmark important case, and this is kind of what I was just referring to a second ago. This is the din that says that if you're mazik, you know, again, you're makabel shmira on kesef, okay? But you're mazik biyadayim zahav, that you're a chayiv. Because my habale gabeda is zakta. Well, you can't be mazik somebody's property. That's not a din shmira. And adamua the olam, basically. Right? Are there any limitations on this halacha? That's really the question. Apparently, the previous halacha of mashil, makom, right, is different than this. That's what Rashi points out. Oh, this finishes the sentence. Yeah. Pashabo? If it's not maisa hezek, but it's pashabo.
Pashabo, mishamash shal kesef, the amralei, nitirusa de kashba kabiri alai, nitirusa de dava lo kabiri
alai. I already mentioned this, but I'll repeat it again. And what will the Rambam say about this Gemara? Meaning the Rambam holds that Pashaya is kebazik? Right? Isn't the Gemara here being mechalik between mazik, you know, and Pashaya? Right? So again, this is an affirmation, again, that what the Rambam says about Pashaya kemazik is a din in the chaskiras. Right? You're a mazik within the context of your shmira, and here the context is what matters. Okay. But it sounds like this should be a perfect paradigm now for us for Eish, right, and Tamun, or at least the Tamun, which doesn't have Xeris HaKasuv attached to it, for sure. I mean, Havalei Suka Adayim. This is the problem in the Sugya. Because doesn't the Gemara seem to say that Mazik B'Adayim, right, there's no Ptur of Havalei LaSuke? Right? So Rashi, that's the Rashi we're referring to. Go ahead. Loha, my Havalei Lagabe Dazik.
My Havalei Lagabe Dazik.
So faso, or she shlachto liam. Yeah, so it's interesting that's me pia mora. Remember, the mora is pretty active in this whole eishom shemchitzo thing. He's the one who also had that interesting downgraded pshat or diluted pshat about Talmud to begin with, right? So, in general, like, what's going on here? This Rashi is a problem, right? Because Rashi here seems to be saying that what? Again, according to the Ramban, you know, if the contrast is the contrast to Mashal Mokom Bechaver Lahagdish, you know, is that isn't Eishem Shemchitzo a typical one either. Right, it's Moda Rabbi Yehuda because, as we said before, that's just a din of Shmira. But what's problematic about Rashi, he doesn't say that. What does he say? The Mavir Lomazik Biadayim, Ela Poshe Kedusiv Kitetse Eish Me'atzma. I mean, Rashi doesn't think this is a special din in Mashil Makom L'Chavero. Ramban does. Right, Rashi has it as a din in Eish. So we're talking about Eishem Shemchitza? Didn't Rashi before say that it's Me'abed B'Yadayim? This, right? Okay, that's B'Tok Shel Chaveira. Okay, maybe. This is, you know, B'Tok Shelo B'Mashal O'Mokha, but he's... So this is the difference between... How do you negotiate these two Rashis? So one, you could say that's the difference between... You know, b'shel chavero and b'toch shelo. Given that Rashi doesn't think, you know, that mashil, like what is the status of mashil? So he's treating b'toch shelo. It's like b'toch shelo shel halak b'toch shel chavero. Maybe that's a difference. A second possibility is the difference between Rav Kahana and Rava. That's what Natan was suggesting. I was going to suggest that too. That's what I mean about him having insinuated Rav already. Okay. Right? A third possibility is that this is all part of the dialectic. Meaning Rashi holds Ma'abid B'Yadayim, and he also holds Pashaya. We're going to see that the Rimmel O'Neill, you know, the Ravid and the Ramban, there, a lot of them are trying to say both of these at the same time. How can you say both of them at the same time? The answer is because Eishem Shemchitzav still requires, you know, that we qualify it as chitzav. Right? So maybe you need to be pasheya, or it can't be onas gamur, you know, in order for that to be the case. Either because Eshem Shem Chitzav itself got diluted, like the Rambam, or the Marshal Rashi, or whatever, or Ben Yeshaya number two. But I'm saying even separate from that, even Eshem Shem Chitzav itself. But to still qualify as Chitzav, right, maybe, you know, you need some Pshia. And therefore, it's Ma'abed Biyadayim when you have it. You know, but, you know, Legabe, you know, the Zav and the Kesef, that's automatic, not automatic. I think those are three ways to go with Rashi. Let's continue just a little more, and then we'll... But either way, Rashi definitely has an important Kiddush. We'll talk about Tosas on Sunday. Go ahead. I'm sorry, late already, but go ahead. Yeah, strange line, right? Go ahead. So that's the question. A new interest, so we have, number one, this, you know, chiluk. We have Rav Kana, Rava, Rav Yehuda. That's the first part of the sugya. Second part of the sugya is, you know, how does it stack up with, you know, the Zav and the Kesef, right? Azikaso or Pshia. Right, that's the second part of the sugya. The third part of the sugya is this din of Asu Takanas Nigzal Be'esh, which is clearly, you know, a different din, a different kind of a din. But does that say anything about Mazik in general and Mazik Shal Eish in particular? Right? And is it Dafka according to Rabbi Yehuda? Or what about the cases where the Rabbanan agree that there's a kind of Petur, or Chiyuv rather, Tum? Right? Is it only because Rabbi Yehuda is across the board? Or is it more than that? Okay, this becomes the third, right, important element in the sugya. So we have to find out what did Rishonim say about all three of these things. Okay, go ahead.
Oh yeah, Meimar. Asdana snakes of a mouse or a low.
Yeah.
Ali Bidaman Damar Lo Danina and the Garmi, Lo Tibailacha, Kamasiro Sunami Lo Danina. Hella Kiki Bailacha, Ali Bidaman Damar and Danina and the Garmi. Asdana snakes of a mouse or the Rishtava of a Shakil, a low.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, again, Mussar we'll talk about very briefly here. I'm not going to get stuck with that, but we've talked about it actually, you know, it came up earlier when we talked about the Rambam and so on. But obviously, if you apply the Takanas Nigzal to Mussar in the same way, it kind of dilutes, you know, the idea of Eish and Gezel, maybe. But we'll look at that. Okay. Then finally, how Gavra?
How Gavra de Patash de Kaspasa de Chabre, Shade Benar.
That sounds like Adam Amazek, correct? Asamare, Amar. Okay, one more line. Amalei Rav Yema.
Time kisei the kaspa vira mai. Amalei chazina inish amidhu the isle kisei the kaspa. Inami inish mehemina hu the mefkidi inshi.
Excellent.
Mishdava v'shal. Hilo lapkol pmina.
Okay. And then we talk about chams and gazon. That's not for us for now. Okay. So basically, in the end of this, the hayib debatish is the fourth point in the sugya. But again, these are overlapping. What's the difficulty in this one? The challenge. The comparison between Adam Amazik, which is Adam the Batish, you know, he takes this from Pashtus, right? Just takes this thing and he throws it in the river. He's a Mazik. And the Gemara brings a Raya as if there's some sort of a question whether he would pay the full amount or not. And the Gemara compares that to Tamun, you know, when you can anticipate, if it's anticipatable or not. That's a strange comparison. So again, if this is all within the takana of Nigzal, and it's very local and narrow, then it's not so terrible. If this is about the bigger question, whether he's chayiv or not, or the Havale Lasuka Adaite. So it sounds like there is there a Mazik case where also Havale Lasuka Adaite plays a role? If that's the case, is that a limitation in Adam Muad Liolam? Ah, so then applying it to Eish, you know, is not reflective of a discrepancy between Mazik and Eisho, even Eisho Mishum Chitza. Right? So we have to figure out, you know, what is the din of this last halacha? Is there a Asuke Adaite also in Adam Mazik? And how does that compare to Eisho? So all these we're going to go through on Sunday to finish off, okay, with the specific Rishonim that we talked about.